Today, we are going to be talking about peace in this world, but more so, we're going to be talking about the peace that we have with God because of what Jesus Christ accomplished with us. And now there's going to be two parts to this peace. It's going to be the comfort that we have between us and God because we have access. But the reason for this being written is the non-peace that was had between Jews and Gentiles. And see, Jesus also destroyed that barrier as well and gave us both, Jews and Gentiles, access to the Father. And so he wanted them to have peace in that. And today, every believer in here, as Gentiles, can continue to have that peace because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Jesus Christ broke down every wall and created a spiritual revolution that transcends race, culture, and status. If we want to secure peace beyond boundaries, we must know the first thing here is that Jesus alone is the source of peace. We see this in verses 14 through 16. Verse 14, it says, "For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." Paul makes clear from the outset that Jesus alone is our peace, the only source. Back in the Old Testament, it was prophesied about Jesus being our peace. In Isaiah 9:6, "For a child will be born unto us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." That is who Jesus Christ is. Jesus proved to be the source of peace in two following ways. There's more, but I have two. He proved this through his blood produced on the cross. That blood produced peace with God. Colossians 2:14 supports it, "Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he," Jesus, "has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." It is his blood. Secondly, it's further supported in the book of Galatians 3:13 and 14, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that," for the reason that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Peace is achieved through faith in Jesus Christ. The second thing, Jesus' blood produced peace with alienated and contending minds. Every believer can have a united peace of mind because we have all been redeemed by the same blood. Everyone in here, if you're forgiven today, it's because you've been redeemed by one blood. Whose blood? Jesus Christ. Every single person. Nobody was redeemed by any other way. There was not a separate blood for you or for me. We are all redeemed by one blood, and that blood is the blood of Jesus Christ. One famous saying that I've heard many times is, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross." Again, we like to create barriers. We like to create lines. We like to create tiers, and one is higher than the other, is higher than the other. At the foot of the cross, where we all must come for forgiveness, it is flat. No one deserves it. Not one more than the other. We all arrive on the same flat ground at the foot of the cross of Jesus' sacrifice for us. Rich and poor, same ground. Bond or slave and free, same ground. The high, the low, same ground. It's all level at the foot of Jesus' cross. And every believer is united. We can talk about this united, this not having barriers. How do we have it there? How are we united? How do we have the peace of that? Because what we've studied and what we've learned in the past weeks is that we all at the foot of the cross are saved by grace alone. It is by the grace of God that you are saved. If you're saved, if you're a saved believer today, a believer and confessor in Jesus Christ, the only reason is because God looked down upon you and shed His grace, and He gave you something that you didn't deserve. There's not a Christian in here that did one thing greater than another. And we should remember that and be united in that and have peace in that, that it's all a work of God and it's all His blessing and it's all by His grace. There's no reason for me to think higher than myself, than you. There's no reason for you to think any higher than me, because we all entered on the same ground and received the same grace and mercy. No reason to set up a barrier when that's how it happened. Paul applies this boundary-breaking power of Christ metaphorically and literally. He says that Jesus broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. When we go back to the temple, and these people would have known this, when you go back to the temple had dividing walls within it. And so Paul is calling to mind this dividing wall, and the first dividing wall was the wall that divided the Gentiles from the Jews. They actually had a wall that we would talk about today. We shouldn't be divided. We shouldn't have these different things. The Jews had it in the temple. A Gentile was not to go past that first wall. They actually had a sign. I'm going to read it. A sign that was posted at the entrance that read, "No foreigner may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Furthermore, anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." They had a barrier. The Gentiles knew about barriers. And do you think that that gave them a level of peace? Jesus broke down this dividing wall and allowed no barriers for anyone who comes to God through Him. We have no barrier. Today, we have no barrier besides the door that comes in and out. Jesus' blood united Jews and Gentiles into a new group. Do you know what that new group is called? Christians. We're no longer Jew. We're no longer Gentile. If we are in Christ through faith by believing and confessing Him as our Lord and Savior, we are Christians, united Christians. And I'm thankful to be united as a Christian. I'm thankful to be united under Christ, and I hope that you are today. Galatians 3:28 supports this. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We are one today. Verse 15 explains how Jesus broke the boundary. Specifically, it says, "By abolishing in His flesh the enmity." On the cross, Jesus abolished both the regulations of the ceremonial law and the condemnations of the moral law. Now, it says, "Which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances." Now, but hear me say this before y'all go crazy. I need you to really listen in case you're kind of just on the outskirts here. What Paul is not saying is that Jesus totally cast away the Ten Commandments for us not to follow anymore. That is not the God's law that he's talking about. The law that he is talking about is the extra law that the Jews and the rabbis came up with, the ceremonies, the feasts, the different things that they added in there to separate them and to keep them from being a part of any Gentiles. There was a deep hatred and disdain for Gentiles. So that's what he's talking about here. One reason why we know that he is not saying that Jesus abolished the Ten Commandments of God is because the Ten Commandments of God allow us to have life. They are the commands that teach us how God has called us to live and what God desires for us to do. And if we follow those things, we can not only bring Him glory, but those are the best life. We talked about discipline in Sunday school with the youth this morning, and that discipline, it says that do not loathe the discipline of God. Why? Because when God disciplines us, we know that He cherishes us as children, and out of His love, He disciplines us. God gave us these commandments not because He decided, well, what would be the most 10 difficult things for humans to try to avoid? That's not it. Every commandment, if we follow them, leads to our betterment. Are they easy to follow always? No, we are sinful flesh. But when we follow them, I hope that you would agree with me that you experience the goodness of God when you obey them. So why there's no reason why Paul would be saying move away from that. They're the only way that we know how to glorify God is through following them, because God Himself gave us the commands. Paul is referring to man-made laws. These man-made laws made the Gentiles feel separated from God and the fellow Jewish believers because they could not and did not keep them. But Jesus has perfectly fulfilled the law of God and given every believer the same laws to follow. Jesus not only made peace available for humanity, but He intended the peace to have an effect. The peace to have an effect. Verse 16, and might reconcile them both, Jews and Gentiles, in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. The effect that Jesus intended peace to have on the world is summed up in one word, reconciliation. To reconcile, to bring together, to unite. Reconciliation means restoration, reuniting of friendly relationships, and of peace where before there had been hostility or alienation. And other parts of the Bible tell us that once we were hostile, once we were alienated, but because of what Jesus did, we're no longer there. And ordinarily, when this word is used in the Bible, it includes the removal of the offense, which caused the alienation. Something else Jesus did. He removed our sins. He removed our separation from God and reconciled us to God. On the cross, Jesus put to death the enmity. Enmity is hostility, antagonism, opposition. This is what Jesus put to death. We've said it before, but it's worth saying again. Humans cannot take away sin. And sin is what generates the hostility, the separation. Humans cannot do that, but what can? Jesus. Amen, brother. Amen, that's right. Jesus. Hebrews 10, 3 through 4 shows us that man can't do it. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. It's talking about animal sacrifices. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It's impossible for man to take away sin. Jesus alone takes away sin and unites believers. Colossians 3, 9 through 11. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Savian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Jesus desired all believers to be united in following Him. No believer has done anything greater or less. No deeds, no works. Christ said the best that we can do is filthy rags before Him. A question for you, everyone here today, especially the members here at Blount Springs Baptist Church, are we creating any barriers between believers at Blount Springs Baptist Church? Are we setting things up to keep us separate? Are we creating difficulties within our own church among our own believers? It happens. It can happen. And I ask that each of us just reflect and think about, am I personally, we can only do for our own accountability, but are we personally creating any barriers within our church among us believers? And if we are, I pray that we seek the Lord and remove those barriers so that we can be united, because it's absolutely critical for us to be united together as Christians, as believers, as we seek to pursue the kingdom of God here at Blount Springs Baptist Church. Last night, we went and watched And I hope I'm not going to ruin this for anybody. You may have to do earmuffs if you haven't watched it and you're going to. So the best Christmas pageant ever. I don't know if anybody's heard of that or seen that as a movie. It was a book, I think, and they've made it into a movie. I wasn't sure that I was going to like it. I thought it was just going to be a kid's movie. But man, I'm telling you, once that thing got into it, I started seeing a very troubling message that's very true. As Christians, sometimes we forget about the ground being level at the cross. As Christians, sometimes we get to thinking, well, I've done a few things. I'm getting better. I'm moving up. And when we do that, we start to create barriers with those who aren't there, that may be struggling a little bit, that may be trying. And what had happened specifically in this is they had a Christmas pageant that they were going on. And it was tradition. You know, we love our tradition, right? Can't change nothing. For 75 years, they had done the Christmas play the same exact way. But this year, it was going to be a little bit different. Uh-oh. And in the difference, there was going to be some characters that were very non-Mary and Joseph and all these things. And as I watched the movie, they did a great job of showing how the Christians did everything they could to put up barrier after barrier after barrier to keep these children out of their Christmas play. And I just thought to myself, am I doing that in this world, in the workplace, at the ballpark, in the gym? Am I creating barriers for those who God is calling to this church? Think about it as this church. It's easy to worship with people who have been Christians forever. Everybody with me? Can I go here for just a minute? It's easy to worship around people that look familiar. It's easy to worship around people who are from Hayden. It's easy to worship around those who you know, the family, family, family. The world is God's kingdom. We all don't look the same. We all don't talk the same. We all don't think the same. But we're all God's people. And I pray that I do not create any barriers from someone whom God is calling in this church to save, that I keep them out for some reason that I've come up with for myself. I hope that we're welcoming. I hope that we're not only welcoming at that door, but I hope you're welcoming out in this community and you're sharing with people the hope of Jesus Christ and the hope of coming and worshiping Him at Blount Springs Baptist Church. I hope that we have no barriers and that everyone feels welcome to come here and worship Jesus Christ. I was saddened by seeing that, but I'm not going to tell you the end. You'll have to go and watch it. But for no other reason than this one right here, Jesus gave His life so that we would have no barriers. He gave it all. So why, after Him giving that sacrifice, should I feel like I need to go and create some? Let us not create any barriers for fellow believers to fellowship here at Blount Springs Baptist Church, to worship here at Blount Springs Baptist Church, and to see the love of Christ in our community. The second thing, Jesus did not keep the powerful truth of peace to Himself, and I'm thankful for that. I'm a product of that. The second truth is Jesus is the preacher of peace. We see it in verse 17. It says, "And He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near." This verse comes from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 57:19 says, "Creating the praise of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, I will heal him." Preached, what does this word mean? Specifically, it means to tell the good news. Jesus came to tell the good news. It also means to proclaim, to preach, to proclaim the gospel. I'm thankful that Jesus came to proclaim the gospel because only because of the gospel that any of us have any salvation. And Jesus, thankfully, did not keep the path to God hidden or a mystery. Jesus, as what we're seeing here, what Paul is telling them is that Jesus did not only come to preach to those who were near. Who in this context are those who are near? The Jews. Jesus did not come to only preach to Israel. It says the far away. Who is that? That's the Gentiles. That's to the end of the earth that we see in the Great Commission. The far away, and we see, we can interpret this as the Gentiles in Ephesians 2:13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So those near, those far are all brought by the same method, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul is teaching the Gentiles that Jesus died for them and taught them the far away the same exact gospel as the Jews. There's no division, that we are united under the same gospel. The book of Acts also teaches that Jesus died and proclaimed the good news. Acts 2:39, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. I am thankful that the gospel made it to Hayden, Alabama, to Gethsemane Baptist Church. Amen. I'm thankful that the gospel is here today in Blount Springs Baptist Church, because I don't know who needs to hear it in here today. Who needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? If Jesus preached to the far away, shouldn't we do the same? Or is it different? Do we have a different conviction? Should we only preach to those who are near? Should we only tell the gospel to those who are close to us? If you are concerned or you do not think that we should preach the gospel to the far away, then I have another question. Do you believe then that God's elect people are outside of His power? They are not. Near or far. And our motivation should be, if you feel the peace, if you've believed and confessed and you have the peace of Jesus Christ and you experience that, why would you not want someone else to? Why would that not be a motivation for us to proclaim the gospel to those who are near and to those who are far? If you experience that peace, it should be a big motivator. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings the good news, who brings the gospel, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are the feet of those people. Jesus is the preacher of peace, and we should be too. One last word of caution as we seek to have and give peace in this world. Jesus is the access to the ultimate peace. You see it in verse 18. It says, for through Him, through Jesus, we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. Now, this is going to be something contrary to what is proclaimed throughout the world today that I hear many times, and it's often the motivator for a lot of arguments against Christians. There is one path to God where ultimate peace exists. One. You see that? The world likes to do this. 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And somebody says, well, how do you know? How can you say, how can you be so bold to say there's one way to God? That's what the Bible says. You believe the Bible's true? It all just goes back to that. If you believe the Bible's true, well, the Bible tells us that there's one way to God. So what do you believe? I believe there's one way to God, and I believe it's through Jesus Christ, His Son. John 14:6, you say, where do you get it, preacher? John 14:6, Jesus said to him, and this is about as plain as you can say it, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That sounds like one access to me. Jesus Christ. The unbelieving world hates and rebukes this message. However, I want to say this to the young people in here today and maybe some people who are working with those people. When they tell you that, when you go to college, some of y'all are going to be going to college. And y'all are going to have lots of people to tell you that. They'll be happy to tell you that you're closed-minded. How could you think that? Well, just remember this, guys. Their rebuke, when they tell you that it's not possible, it doesn't matter who it is, it doesn't matter what they say. Them telling you it's not possible does not give it validity. It is possible. The Bible tells us it's possible, and that's what we go with. That's what we believe in. Their word of rebuke does not solidify the truth. What does this exclusive path of Jesus mean for us now? Two things. We're not divided as believers. We're united as one. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body, one spirit, just also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all, through all, and in all. We're united as one today, as what? Christians who have taken the one path to Jesus Christ through faith and confession. We have the peace of unity with fellow believers, Baptist, Methodist, denominations of a man. Christians. We're Christians united as one. Men and women, black, white, short, tall, we all have unity through Jesus Christ. We're not divided from God. We're not separated slaves to sin. Romans 8:15 tells us for believers, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The truth is that believers are united as God's children. We've been adopted through faith through the work of Jesus Christ. And we have direct access to God because of this. Direct access to the Almighty Creator. I'm going to read a verse that's kind of long, but it's beautiful. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 to kind of solidify this truth about our direct access to God. It says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Remember, the holy place had a wall. No longer because of Jesus, there's no wall. We can walk in there to God with confidence because of what Jesus Christ did. By a new and living way, which He, Jesus, inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What are the practical applications from those verses? Draw near to God with full assurance of faith. Hold fast to your confession of hope. Do not forsake assembling together. Encourage one another in peace that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus has solved the problem of access to God and God's love. Jesus solved that. And believers, you and I have the ultimate peace because Jesus has granted us access to God for all of our spiritual and earthly troubles. As we close today, Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. Do you have peace beyond boundaries? I write these because they challenge me. Just practically, for just a moment, I want you to think. Think about this question. Where are you seeking peace in this life? Every day when you get up, throughout your day, where are you turning to find your peace? There's a lot of options in which you could go. Money, material security, That's a place where a lot of people try to find peace. Medicine, health, is that where we're trying to find our peace? I want to encourage you, if there's any other way, there's many ways to try to find the peace. But unless you're seeking Jesus and the Word of God to find your peace, you will never find it in the other things. I don't think the world has enough money to give you the peace and security that you're looking for. It's not possible. Although we continue to try to think it might. I don't think that we can have enough health to have the security that only God can feel. And the basic truth that we don't need to forget is Jesus promised us that we will have trouble in this world. Y'all remember that? It's a promise. But He gave us an absolute peace at the end of that statement. I'm going to read it for you. John 16:33, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me," in who? In Jesus. "In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You will have trouble." Jesus promised that, but He didn't leave it there. We've got a conjunction, a but conjunction. "Take courage, I have overcome the world." And that's why we can have peace, and that's why we can be united, and that's why we don't have any boundaries, because Jesus has done the work, Jesus has broke down the barriers, and through faith and confession in Him, we can have the ultimate peace that will not only be in this life, but will carry forth with us to the next. It's all because of what Jesus has done. So if you don't have that peace this morning, I want to let you know it's available. It's absolutely available. It's available in Jesus Christ. Some people may be struggling. Maybe you've tried to find peace in other ways. I think this morning will be a good time, if you've left the peace of Christ and you've gone over there to try to find it in another thing, is to repent from that, to ask God to say, "I'm sorry. I've been seeking peace. I've been seeking fulfillment over here away from you. And God, today you've told me that it's not there. No matter how far I dig, no matter how far I go, it's never going to be there. God, the peace is only in you. But God, I need you to help me repent," because we get tied into these things and we get just strapped down into these things that we try to find peace in. But God will hear your prayer and deliver you and allow you to leave that place and run back to Him to find that peace. I want the peace of God. I not only want it right now, I want it continually. And I can quit wasting my time looking for it in other places, because Jesus said, "In me you have peace." I want to encourage you, if you've left that, Jesus is waiting for you, and Jesus still has that peace. And I'm confident, I say this with confidence, He'd be happy to give it to you this morning. If you've never had the peace, it's available today as well, through belief and confession in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, by the same gospel that He proclaimed both near and far. Whatever your need may be, I pray that you'll do business with God this morning. If you would, please stand. Let's sing one last song before we close.